You're listening to DailySession.com.
All right. Okay. Charlie, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Good. Happy to be back on Daily Sessions.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Haven't been on in a while.
Very good to see you guys here. So, what have you been up to?
Just hanging out with the record junkies here today, you know what I mean? Having a good time, trying to sell some stuff for Linda, as I do every Thursday, which is called Vinyl Mania Day at Downtown 161, which is held from 3 to 7 every Thursday. If you are a record junkie or fanatic, or if you remember my store, you're welcome to come up between 3 and 7 and go through our tremendous amount of stock. And Sean is here to help you today, so he can find you anything that you want. But it's a weekly thing we do. It's kind of like a little underground club that we'd like to get more well-known. So think it over.
So how did that even come about? How did all this come about? I know you have ties with Judy, but you know, what was kind of the first steps to getting it going?
Well, in 2007, I closed my store in March of 2007. And we closed on March 17th, 2007, to be specific, and we did a little internet thing. And I mean, hundreds of people showed up for the final day. You could still watch that final day on Google or YouTube. It was tremendous. And this was the place where I always bought all my records for Vinyl Mania, because Linda was my supplier. And she said, why don't you bring your customers up here? And we've been doing it now. It's 4 years.
Right?
Every Thursday. We used to do it on Wednesdays, but now it's on Thursdays. So we're doing it for 4 years now, where people can still come and buy, sort of like they bought at my store, only in an office type atmosphere.
It is a bit more of an office, right?
They're not looking at them this way.
No.
They're looking at them this way.
Yeah.
But they don't care how they're looking at
them. I think, to be honest, most people are looking online and then going, where's that? Where's
that's,
that? Where's
that's that? The way we prefer you do it. And remember, if you are listening, you can go to Downtown 304, see everything online, and listen to everything as well. So if you're interested in coming, that would be a great way to start.
So it's nice having people around, you know, like with that, everything being on the internet now, kind of miss that like camaraderie that you develop with like customers and like other, you know, people that come in.
It's one of the main reasons why I come, because if I missed anything from the store besides the money, it's the social aspect. It's the social aspect of things where I would see a lot of people that actually grew up in my store. I mean, some of these guys are coming to me for over 25 years, so to keep that going, I thought this would be a great idea. And we're also keeping vinyl alive up here by doing this.
I mean, I feel like, you know, with the internet, you can learn a lot more, but you miss, you know, certain things from actually interacting with people, you know. A customer comes in and, you know, mentions a record, maybe you've never heard of it before.
The doing retail in a retail sense is totally different than doing it online, because if you got customers that are coming on a weekly or even a monthly basis, you kind of learn their tastes.
Yeah, you know what,
and you right, and they come in and you say, I got this for you, I got that for you. In fact, when people did come to Vinyl Mania, there were people that wanted to only go to Stuart, or wanted to only come to me, or only come to another employee, because they felt that click between them. So online, you can't really get that close.
Yeah.
But you know, it opens you up to the whole world also, so you're selling stuff in places that you just can't believe.
That's true.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing. How's the warehouse doing?
Fully stocked, and it's supposed to be moved this year, but we will keep everyone informed of that.
Yeah. This call is keeping you busy?
I would say that the internet is probably keeping me as busy now, not business-wise, but time-wise, as it was at the store. But we're building it.
So do you prefer kind of working with internet customers, or
if you like working in your underwear or your pajamas, it is preferable. It's much preferable, because I couldn't do that here. But no, I loved coming to the store. I mean, the store was my life for 30 years, and I'll always miss it.
Yeah.
I can't deny that.
Yeah. What was your favorite kind of like time period at the store?
my favorite time period at the store would be in the 80s. And the reason I say that is not only because of all the music that was evolving or whatever, but in the 80s, a dollar was really a dollar. I mean, you really got your money's worth. And now, 30 years later, I mean, we're in a whole different planet as far as I'm concerned. I mean, what you could have bought for $20 back then, I mean, now you get a record. So, look, times have changed, right, times have changed financially, but, I mean, things are still good.
Yeah. How do you feel about, like, a lot of the American labels kind of abandoning pressing in the States and pressing up in Europe?
I'm a little surprised that some of them haven't continued or kept up with their catalog or, but look, everybody's got their own reasons for doing things. I mean, maybe things were so slow for some of the people that it wasn't worth it to them anymore, but I was a little surprised by that. But, you know, right after I closed, a lot of people sort of closed along with me. So, look, these are the times we're in. These are the times. It was like a little bit of a house of cards falling. I mean, after I closed, Dance Tracks closed a few months later. Watts Distribution closed. Unique Distribution closed, which was unbelievable. He was very big. Nemesis. They all went by the wayside. Right. All within 12 months to 24 months after I left. So they were waiting for me.
Yeah.
And then they said, let's close.
I mean, right. You know, like, it's, you know, you were kind of like a leader in things.
Well, I was there from the beginning of 12 Inches, not before Rock and Soul or Downstairs, but I was kind of there from right at the invention of the 12 Inch, per se. And look, times change. Times change. So we're in a different world.
You were the first kind of DJ-specific record shop?
When I opened up my record store, I didn't open it up with DJs in mind at all. I opened it up as a rock store, but I happened to be in the right place at the right time, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I was around the corner from Paradise Garage. Yeah. I didn't even know that. I mean, I didn't know that. But I opened up around the corner, learned about the club, saw so many people into this scene. I says, let me learn about this. I mean, I had moved from Brooklyn into Manhattan, and I went with it. I jumped right in the water, and it changed my whole life.
So how many employees did you start with? Just you?
It was basically me and my wife, and my first employee was Jose Bonilla, which I hired Jose because he was in one of the first record pools with David Mancuso, and he had a knowledge of promotional 12 inches as well as stuff that was commercial. So it was the three of us that did it in the beginning, and then we added employees like Judy and Manny came in the beginning of the 80s, and it started to grow. And over the 30 years, I employed hundreds of people at Vinyl Mania over the years. Hope you're all listening.
So did you miss those days at all? Or?
Look, I think everybody misses their past, but what I'm saying is I do have a tremendous future in the cyber world. I mean, I really own a lot of merchandise, which is fully paid for, and it's all mine, and I could go on forever.
I'm sure.
Forever.
Toshi's told me about his
Yeah, I mean, I could go on forever. But it's tough. People like Toshi that always have fresh ideas on how to keep the music business alive, even with something like we're doing right now, is keeping the interest going, you know?
The pop-up shop that he did at Zacka.
We did the pop-up shop at Zacka. Yeah, over the years I did the Brooklyn Flea, where I used to do a flea market every weekend. So I'm diversifying a little bit just to keep myself occupied in the music business, but I can keep myself occupied 24 hours a day. It's no problem. It's no problem.
Did you do any of like the record shows, like WFMU?
I stopped doing those things years ago, only because I'm a kind of person that likes to be very thorough when I set my stuff out, and a lot of the times at these shows you're relegated to one or two tables, and I just feel I can't present myself. I'm really an old school retailer.
Yeah.
I like things in alphabetical order, and I'm real anal when it comes to how things are displayed or showed. But that's just my background. Yeah. So no, I haven't done things like that now in a number of years. I leave that to the younger guys that can carry the heavy box.
How did you get into the music business?
Okay. I was attracted to records the first time I saw them. I was 5 years old. And at that time, there was really only 45s, the small ones. And I started to buy those, mainly the hits. And I used to keep them in order in a little box. And then I started playing them at like parties and stuff. And they used to sell 45s in downtown Manhattan, 12 for a dollar. And I started buying those. And then the Beatles came. My whole life changed. I started buying LPs. And I got into it like everybody else in the world got into it. And I loved it. I've loved it my whole life. I started when I was 5. 55 years later, I'm still doing it. I was attracted to the minute I saw it. And I think that most people that like records, it goes a little bit beyond the collecting of it. There's something inside you where you just like it. I can't explain it. If you don't buy records or like records, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you do like records, you totally understand. It's just an experience that, thank God, I'm involved with records from the minute I get up until the minute I go. Well, I'm involved with music from the minute I get up until the minute I go to sleep. It's my whole life.
And you love what you do.
I absolutely adore what I do. I mean, I think I was blessed that I opened up that store in that spot. Because if I didn't, I don't think Vinyl Mania would have lasted for 30 years. But because I was around the corner from that club and I went in a whole different direction. And remember, what was interesting was the 45 in 1976 went to 12-inch. So we went from 7-inch to 12-inch. This might sound a little odd talking about this, but the size, I mean, it mattered in a way. It was like a whole new format, and it was just very, very interesting to me. And I liked the order of it and keeping, I don't know, I'm anal with it. Like I said, I'm kind of crazy with it.
Can you remember the first record that you bought?
The first album I ever bought was by the Rolling Stones. It was called England's Newest Hitmakers. My parents hated it. They had long hair. They were dressed very differently. My parents hated the Rolling Stones. But I can't remember the first 45, but I'm sure it was something by Dion or something from the 50s, because I'm from that era, so it was probably something like that. So your turn. Yeah.
What is music to you?
I don't want to go into like spiritual or whatever, but I mean it's a very, very important thing to me. I mean, I just constantly have it on in my car or in my home or whatever. I'm not much of a TV guy. I read a lot, but I mean, music is. I mean, I couldn't imagine life without it. I mean, I know there's some people who probably don't use it at all, but I don't know where their head is at. I mean, I think music can be the salvation of the entire world if everyone listened to it. There's certain places in the world that should go unnamed where music kind of isn't allowed. And that's why there's a lot of turmoil in the world. I mean, music is, you know, all you need is love. Who said that? John Lennon? I mean, he had something there. He had something there.
What's the last piece of music that you bought?
I'm buying some today. I'm buying some records today. I don't have them here, but I guess I could show them to you. But I'm the kind of guy, if somebody's selling records in the street for a dollar, I'm going to look. Yeah. I'm going to look. I always look. Yeah. Bad habit. I mean, I need it like a hole in the head.
Yeah.
But it's just something I'm just so attracted to. It's been that way forever.
Do you keep your personal collection at home?
I have a personal collection at home, a large vinyl collection, a very large CD collection also. I'm not anti-CD. And because I was in the business, I have hundreds of thousands of records. Yeah. Hundreds of thousands. Yeah. I like it, though. I like it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Very good.
We definitely want to see this. We want to see this. We want to hear this. That's for sure. Yeah. My Brooklynese comes out when I talk. My favorite DJ. I don't really have a favorite DJ, but what I learned about DJs and what I like about them, that even if it's not the kind of music that I like let's take a DJ like a Paul Oakenfold or a DJ Tiesto, they're not really playing music that's my style. But what I like is the power of the DJ, where you see these guys playing records in front of thousands of people and people are going crazy. So I learned very early in the game, especially through Larry Levan, the power of the DJ. Whereas the person playing the records is in control of the whole mood or the whole atmosphere of the place. And you know, before I got into the DJ business, the only DJs I knew were the ones on the radio. But once I learned about DJs playing, that's when I said, whoa, this is intense. This is like being a rock star in a way without playing a guitar, you know? So it was very, very interesting to me because I came from a rock background and really knew nothing about DJing until I got into the business. The one thing I regret is that I never sort of kept up. I should have DJed myself because when I was a young boy, I was playing records at parties and I kind of realized the power of it. But once I got into the retail end of it, I kind of forgot about that, but I shouldn't have. I should have, besides having the store, I should have DJed also, really. And I think I could have been good at that. I think I could have been good. I guess I could. I was doing it on the daily sessions for a while, but I got some problems now where I got to move my warehouse and this and that, so I can't really do it. But we will do it in the future. I will be the 70-year-old DJ. Yes, that's what I'll do. Yeah. Okay, showtime. Cool. I've always found that people who love vinyl are always good people. Never one act of violence in my store in 30 years. Never one fight, never one argument, never one very theft, hardly any. I find that record people, they're very honest people. They're very into it. They're very into it. So yes, my answer to your question is yes. I think that record people or people very into music are very good people. It's kind of religious, isn't it?
Yeah. Spiritual.
Let's get back to that.